You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14. We were in Numbers 13 last week. We're going to be in Numbers 14 today. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You will be there, all right? We are continuing our series called Your Future, An Invitation to True Life. We are talking all about the fulfilling future that God does have for you and how you can live in it, okay? So here we go. At some point in your past, today was your future. So here's the question we've been asking. Have things turned out the way that you wanted them to? Do you get to wake up each and every morning knowing that you're about to spend that day being the person that God created you to be and doing the very specific things that He designed you to do? And so here's the reality that we've been coming face to face with over the past few weeks. Very few people live that way. And what's really, really, really sad is that very few people who say they love Jesus are actually living that way and are therefore living the unfulfilled life. Friends, that is not God's plan for you. I'm going to shock some of you right now. God wants you to be fulfilled. I'm going to really shock some of you with this right here. God wants you to be happy. And no, I ain't going to apologize for saying that. But listen, some of us, though, we hear things like that. We get a little bit uncomfortable with that notion. Good, I'm going to let you squirm in it for just a minute. Listen, God wants to lead you into a future full of life and impact and significance. Now, here's why that's shocking to some of us, because many of us and many of our parents before us have misunderstood what the fulfilling life is that Jesus invites us into. And when we misunderstand that, we're vulnerable to believing a whole bunch of junk. Many of us have so sadly and so wrongly been taught that God Himself really isn't that happy, that God Himself is a prude, that He's a taskmaster, that He'll never really be satisfied with you, He'll never really be proud of you. And so we trudge on through life craving the satisfaction and the fulfillment that only God can give. And we want to get it from Him, but with a skewed view of God and a misunderstanding of what it is He invites us to, we don't know how to get it. So can I just encourage you this morning, get that junk out of your theology, out of the way you think about or relate to God, the way you understand Him. You can't take the whole Bible in context and come up with that junk. If you take the whole Bible in context, here is the only conclusion you can come to about God, that He is the most loving, most gracious, most patient, most forgiving, most passionate, most life-giving, most adventurous, joyful, impact-making, significance-imparting dad who knows how to lead you into the future He has for you. He even knows how to give you a future of fulfillment that you could otherwise only dream of. Now, does that mean you'll never face difficulty or hardship or get stretched or challenged along the way? Of course not. So Jesus calls us to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Him as we follow Him so that with His help, we can actually overcome in the midst of difficulty. We can actually continue to become the people He wants us to become. We can actually hold on to our joy and our fulfillment in the midst of it all. And then the impact of our lives on other people grows more significant through the victories that Jesus gives. In week one of our series, I said that the invitations that you accept from God today determine your future fulfillment. Here's where we get into trouble, and here's where we can come up with some wrong ideas about God. When we don't accept His full invitation to follow Him, where He then gets to make us into a brand new person. And listen, that person He wants us to become is always a fisher of men. Those are Jesus' words. Come on, let's look at that invitation together again today. Matthew 4:19 is going to be up on the screen. Here we go. It says, "And He said to them, follow Me." And you know this, church. Come on, let's say it together. and I will make you fishers of men. That is the invitation that Jesus gave to his very first disciples, and it's the same invitation he still gives to every person. He's given to every person ever since when he says, follow me. In other words, Jesus invites us to live the invitational life with him, or as we say around here, to live saved, changed, and on mission to make more disciples, to be used by God to draw other people to true life where they can also then become a part of God's family. If you never lead others into true life, you'll never fully experience it yourself. So if you are here and you say, I'm a Jesus follower, do we got any Jesus followers in this room? If you're here and you say you're a Jesus follower, are you also currently a fisher of men? How often do you really go fishing for other people that need to know the love of Jesus? And here's a question. When was the last time you caught a big one? Now, don't lie about it or exaggerate about it the way regular fishermen do. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, caught me a 40-pound tuna bass last week. I would have taken a photo of it and posted it on Facebook, but my boss thought I was sick that day. Man, first service didn't laugh at that either. I got work to do. Man, tuna bass? Nobody? Okay, this is for real though. This is a bit of a side note. But do you know what I do get pumped about? And I don't do this, but have you seen these guys that noodle? Do you know what I'm talking about? These guys, we got one. We got one here, family. These guys that they will stick their hands under muddy water into dark holes under the water, hoping that there's a giant catfish in there instead of a snapping turtle. These are men that have no regard for their future, right? They only care about catfish glory. And I'm pretty sure ladies aren't into that or don't even think that's cool at all, right? So I don't know what the dudes are doing it for, but I think it's cool. All right, I'm going to stop. All right. I tested all that material out on first service, and they told me I should still do it, but apparently it just really wasn't that great. All right. As disciples of Jesus, I really just want you to be honest with yourself. Are you a fisher of men? Are you living saved, changed, and on mission? When was the last time you personally led someone else to true life in God? And so if your answer this morning is anything along the lines of, I rarely, if ever, go fishing for other people, or I have never led anyone else to Jesus, then grace, and here's the good news, you can start today. And so, church, the concept for this series is twofold. God wants to change and bless your future by changing you, by making you into a fisher of men and women. I'll say it this way. He wants to make you into an invitational person for Jesus so that you can know the joy and the fulfillment of helping to change and bless the futures of others as they then also become a part of God's family. God wants to lead you into true life by moving through your life to lead others into true life in Him. But what are the consequences if we don't? What if we don't? What happens if we don't allow Jesus to make us into fishers of men and women? What can we expect then? So for the past couple of weeks, you've heard me make statements like this. I made this statement a couple of weeks ago. If the people in Newton who say they love Jesus don't invite the people in Newton who don't yet love Jesus, then who else will? Or again, if you follow Jesus, if you say you're a Jesus follower, last week we talked all about your friends, your family, your coworkers, and those that you know that need the love of Jesus. And I asked, if you don't take responsibility for their lives, then who else will? Church, if you don't make the invite, if you don't go fishing for them, then who else will? And if you don't, can you still expect to find the fulfillment you crave in life? So I want us to finish the story we started last week. Last week we talked all about how God promised to give the nation of Israel their own land. How God, remember, with a mighty hand, led his people out of slavery in Egypt. How he parted the Red Sea and let them cross on dry land and then drowned their enemies behind them in the sea. And God's intention was to finally bring his people into the promised land. This was seriously his plan. He said, I'm going to plant you in the land. I'm going to change you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into my people so that you guys can be a blessing to the whole world. God said the whole world's future is going to be changed by me through you guys. Just accept my invitation. Follow me. Let's go and take the promised land together. We saw that God then instructed them to send out 12 scouts or 12 spies into the land to check it out before the whole nation would enter together with the miraculous help of God. But then those scouts returned, and 10 out of the 12 scouts gave a bad report about the land to Israel. Caleb and Joshua were the only two people, the only two men who believed that with God's help, they could immediately go and take the land. The others all said, yes, this land is a dream come true, but there's too many giants there. And their cities are large and fortified. And if we go, they're going to kill all of us, and they're going to take our children as plunder in war. And so in fear, they believed there was no way they could take the land, again, that God wanted to miraculously lead them into. It was as if they had all of a sudden forgotten about the extraordinary miracles God had just done for them to get them to that point. So they stirred up the people with their bad report, and together, again, here's the picture. Here's what this looks like. It's like they walked up to the border. They walked up to that line, peeked across at the future and the life that God was inviting them into, took a good look, backed off, and ultimately said no. They refused to accept God's invitation. Again, here's my question. What happens when you and I don't accept his invitations? What happens when you don't accept the most fundamental invitation that he gives when he says, follow me and let me make you into someone that you are not? Okay, so let's look at what happened with the nation of Israel. This is Numbers 14, verses 21 through 25, if you're there. Okay, so they refused to cross the line into the promised land, and here's God's response. Numbers 14, 21 says, as surely as I live, this is God speaking. He says, as surely as I live, and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter that land. They have seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness. And watch this, do not miss this, but again and again. How many times? Again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. You have to see that, okay? This wasn't the first time they had done this. Again and again, God says, friends, I am telling you, God is the most patient, the most loving, the most forgiving, the most gracious. But eventually, if you continue to refuse his invitations, he will let you go your own way. He will not force you to live in the future that he has for you. So verse 23 says, he says, they will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. But watch this, church. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me. So I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. But for now, God says, now turn around and don't go toward the land where the Amalekites and the Canaanites live. Tomorrow you must set out for the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. Now, leave your Bibles there. We're going to come back there in just a moment. How many of you guys have ever heard a phrase like this where we might say, you're in a wilderness season? Or you're in the wilderness right now in life. You're in a wilderness season. Have you guys heard that before? This is where that idea comes from. Israel rejected God's invitation to enter into the true life and the future he had for them in the promised land. And so by default, the only place left for them to go was back to the wilderness. So here's what God did. God sent them to wander for 40 years in that wilderness until all of the adults, those who were old enough that day to make the decision to refuse God's invitation, until all of those adults died in that wilderness. God meant what he said, that not one of them would enter the land. Again, church, I'm telling you, the invitations you accept from God today determine your future fulfillment. So you have to understand, God is life. Jesus himself, he says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus says plainly, I'm the only thing that will satisfy you. I'm the only thing that will satisfy every human being and every human need. And so he invites you and me. He says, follow me and I'll make you into someone that you're not. I want you to live life with me and be satisfied by me. And I want you to also join me in helping other people know me so they can be satisfied by me as well. If you're taking notes, write this down. Listen, when we refuse Jesus' invitations, we choose the unfulfilled life. When we refuse Jesus' invitations, we choose the unfulfilled life. There simply is no other option. When we refuse the future that Jesus wants to lead us into, when we won't cross the lines he wants us to cross and become the person he wants us to become, then by default we choose the wilderness. We choose a desert instead of satisfaction. We choose wandering instead of fulfillment. And here's how that plays out today, even in the lives of many people, especially Americans who say they're Christians, but maybe don't really love Jesus or are not living on mission. It's the never-ending life of trying to find your fulfillment in the next big thing. If I just do this now, this will make me happy. And usually that looks like, man, if I could just have that bigger house, or if I could get that car, or if I had that job, or if I had this much money, or if I could have that relationship, or this sex, pornography, alcohol, drugs, you name it. We look for it in all those kinds of things. But every time we try the next thing, here's what happens. That thing does what the thing before it did, and it eventually lets us down. There are so many people today who say they love Jesus, who say they are following Jesus, but I'm telling you, a lot of people haven't even tried Jesus. They haven't crossed that line. They aren't actively taking the steps Jesus is inviting them to take to become the men and the women that he is calling them to be. And so I wonder, when people refuse the future that God has for them, does that also then mean that God's future plans are wrecked as well? So check this out. If you still got your Bibles open to Numbers 14, skip down to verse 31. Numbers 14, 31. Okay, so God just said, he said, I'm sending you all to the wilderness that you chose. You wouldn't enter, you guys are going to the wilderness. But he's about to tell them who will get to enter the land. He says, you said your children would be carried off as plunder. Well, I will bring them safely into the land. I'm going to bring them safely into the land, and watch this. They will enjoy what you have despised. But as for you, you will drop dead in this wilderness. Ouch. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. God will find someone else to accept the invitations you refuse. God will find someone else to accept the invitations you refuse. The adults wouldn't cross the line into the promised land that day, but that doesn't mean that God's plans were ultimately stopped. God wanted a people to know him and enjoy the life and the future that he had for them, and he wanted the whole world to get to know him through his people. Now, just because some people refuse to take part in that doesn't mean that God's plans were ultimately stopped. No, here's what God just said. If you won't follow me, I'll raise up someone else who will. In this case, 40 years later, God led the children of those who rejected his invitation. He led them into the promised land. And did you see what God said? He said, they will enjoy. They will get to enjoy what you have despised. In other words, they're going to get the satisfaction that I intended for you. Family, God will find someone else to accept the invitations that you refuse. You will just miss out on the fulfillment. So, for example, what happens if God wants, let's say your coworker, he wants your coworker to become a part of his family? What happens if God wants your coworker to become his son or his daughter, but you then refuse to go fishing for that person? Does that mean that that person will not become a part of God's family? No, you better believe me. God will make a way. If God wants your coworker to become his son or his daughter, then they will become his son or his daughter. You will just miss out on the fulfillment of getting to be a part of making that happen. But friends, do not use this as an excuse not to be the fisher of men that God wants you to be. I'm telling you, you better hear me on this. Your life is at stake here too. Your future is at stake here too. Please hear me. I'm telling you. So Jesus says, follow me. If you say you're following Jesus, but you are not actively involved in the process of leading other people to Jesus, then at some point we need to ask the question, are you really following Jesus? A disciple, the disciple life is saved, changed, and on mission. That is a natural progression for someone who is genuine about following Jesus. If you say, man, I'm saved, but then you won't change and you'll never get on mission, at some point we have to ask, did you really get saved? Besides, and I want you to hear this too, who knows exactly what your friend or your coworker or your family member is going through at the moment? Who knows how much heartache and anguish could be spared in their lives if you'd invite them to Jesus today versus making God send someone else to them tomorrow? Church, God wants to change and bless your future by changing you, by making you into a fisher of men and women. He wants you to know the joy and the fulfillment of helping to change and bless the futures of others as they also become a part of God's family. So, gathering family, no matter where you've been, no matter how you've lived up until this moment, Jesus is issuing the invitation to all of us today. He says, follow me and I will make you into fishers of men. And so I'm really asking this morning, you guys want to accept that invitation? I'm being serious. You guys want to live the invitational life together? You guys want to step across the line together and step into this promised land that God has for us called Newton Reborn? Come on, listen, I know many of you do. And I also know that many of us want to, but we're still a little intimidated. And we don't know how we'll do that. Or we know, man, that's going to require some boldness on my part. Okay, so that's okay. Grace, let's talk about how we do this. Let's talk about how we take this step. Where do we begin? What step can we take to get started? And how, some of you guys are just invitational people all the time, but how can we keep growing in this? So listen, once again, here's the very specific step that we are pushing for all of us who call the gathering home. We're pushing for all of us to take this step in this series, but beyond this series. Okay, we're not just stopping with this, okay? We want all of us to start inviting other people to church. We want everybody who calls the gathering home to start inviting other people to church. Now, I said this last week, I can't force you to do that. I don't want to force you to do that. But friends, here is why inviting other people to church is such an incredible next step for you. Okay, first off, it literally kickstarts you into the invitational life. It literally kickstarts you into the on-mission life. Where'd it go? I think I got my tight pants on today. It's in here somewhere. I shouldn't have said that. Come on, this right here, this act right here, you're handing out the invite. This literally kickstarts you into the invitational life. This, I keep saying literally, but this is literally Jesus bait that you're dropping in the water. You're inviting someone to join you in the presence of God where they might accept the invitation that Jesus has for them to follow him. Come on, it's an incredible step. So listen, it gets you fishing. If you're not fishing, this will get you fishing right away. Here's the other reason it's a big deal. A simple move of inviting another person to church. This specific move right here opens the doors all the way for you then to live out the invitational life in front of the people that you've invited. Because I'm telling you, when you invite them to church, whether they accept your invite or not, here's what they know. Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're a Jesus follower. Okay. And now they're going to begin to look at your life differently than they did before. And listen to me, whether they accept the invitation immediately or not, here's the other thing they will immediately know about you. They're going to know you care about them. Friends, whether they accept the invitation or not, that invitation is a stake in the ground. It is a reference point in their life that they will not forget. They may not accept your invitation right away, but I guarantee they'll begin to view your life in a new light as a result of your willingness to invite them to church. And again, even if they don't accept it first, they'll begin to notice. Hopefully they'll begin to notice that you live differently than most of the other people that they know. Because, and don't miss this, okay, let's say you do make the invite and they don't accept. Does that mean your job is done right there? No, come on, you're just getting started. You just put your bait in the water. You got to keep living this thing out in front of them now. The doors are wide open and you get to keep praying for them. We're going to do some of that today. And then later, when they're going through a hardship or facing a crisis, they'll come to you because they know you care. They'll ask for your advice because they know you're not going to reject them. I'm serious about this. You'll have people, they may not even know if they believe in God yet themselves, but they'll come and ask you to pray for them. And then here's what happens. When that happens, it gets me so pumped up. Check this out. When other people, let's say you invited them, maybe they didn't even accept your invitation, but now they're coming to you for Jesus advice. Here's what's actually happening. They're inviting you to speak truth and love and the gospel and the message of Jesus into them. Ain't nobody else moving like I'm moving. Come on. I can't tell you how many times this thing has happened to me. Listen, back when I first got saved and I was working at an ad agency in downtown Kansas City, I started inviting all my coworkers to church with me. Okay, and now hear me say this. Not one of them accepted my invite at the time. But I just kept living it out in front of them. And so here's what started happening. Just shortly after I invited them, I started noticing, yep, they're coming to me for friendship. They're coming to me in their hard times for advice. And then about a year later, Rachel and I, we were going to move to Colorado so that I could go to worship school. And as I was leaving, that last week I was working at that ad agency, I had guys that they would have told you, no, I don't believe in Jesus at all. But they were coming up to me and saying things like, man, I admire your faith. Man, I admire this life that you're living. And then even after I was gone, totally gone, months later at worship school, I'd still have some of these coworkers calling me and messaging me, asking me for advice, asking me to pray for them. This is for real. There's still a guy. I'm still praying for this guy. We worked together at this ad agency. I mean, it's been years ago now. And he hits me up on Facebook about every 6 months, and he says this. And he would tell you, he proudly to this day still claims to be an atheist, but he hits me up on Facebook, and he says this, man, I love what your church is doing for that town, Newton. And so you know what I do when he says that? I tell him all about Jesus. I live out the invitational life. I tell them all the time. I was like, you know, Jesus is the one who's giving and will give life to this town. This guy has not accepted the invitation yet, but he keeps chomping on the bait. And listen to me, I'm not asking you to do anything that I am not doing myself, okay? I invite people to church all the time. I had a guy over at my house the other day to bid on some work that I want done in my yard. And then I ran into him just a couple days later and we started having a conversation and I invited him to church. I invite people to church so much, I actually do it in my sleep. This is literally true. This happened this past week. So some of you guys know, I had some of you are really confused right now, but I had a minor nose surgery on Monday. You really can't tell. It's a little uncomfortable right now, but I'm doing okay. So some of you guys have noticed that my nose just runs all the time. Like, you ever see me up here preaching? I'm doing this, like, every other minute. My wife just says, make sure you don't do this then and wipe it on your jeans. Sorry. I thought my nose runs because I'm a crier, but it turns out my sinuses have just been jacked up for like years. So I had a minor surgery to alleviate that on Monday, and they put me under. I was under anesthesia, and so I was out of it. And I didn't find out about this until later, but apparently as I was coming out of the anesthesia, the nurse told me this later. She said, yeah, you just started inviting everybody to church. You were telling the surgeon and the assistants and all the nurses they need to come to church with you. Here's the unfortunate part. Again, I was out of it. Here's what she said. She said, yeah, you told them all they should come to church with you because you're awesome. She said I took it back a little bit later. And so when I was fully conscious and I was hearing this, I made sure to tell her Jesus is awesome and you guys are the awesome ones, okay? I got some growing up to do, I know, all right? But hey, we're all in this together. That's what I'm saying, okay? And so look, check this out. Even when you do totally blow it in front of the people that you're inviting, like let's say you invite somebody to church on a Tuesday and the next day on Wednesday, you totally live life in front of them in a way that does not honor Jesus, here's what you get to do then. You get to go apologize. You even get to do this. And I'm serious, this can be fun. You get to go say, you know what? Will you forgive me for the way I was behaving? And that is not how I want to live my life. That's not the way I want to honor Jesus. And this is what it's going to do. It's going to blow their minds. Because most of the people that they know in life refuse to live that way. It's going to be just that much more of your life that's invitational and attractional. Your life literally becomes the bait at that point, and they say, I want to live life that way too. All right, now, listen, there is a proper way to invite people to church. There are several ways you can do it, but here is the best way, okay? So how do we invite people to church? Don't tell them you're awesome, like I said. But listen, here's the best way to invite people to church. Face to face. A face to face personal invite is the best. So look, I'm not asking you to go up to strangers. I'm not asking you to go up to random strangers. You can, but discipleship works best in relationship. We say that all the time. So who are the people in your life right now that you know that need the love of Jesus, that need to be surrounded by a family like this? There is no better way to give an invitation than to give a personal invitation to someone you know. Facebook is okay. I'm not saying you got to stop doing the Facebook invite or anything like that, but it's not as powerful as face-to-face. Texting is okay. I'm not saying you got to stop doing texting invites, but it's not as powerful as face-to-face. Church, this is why I keep referring to it as a line we need to cross, because we can almost hide a little bit on Facebook still. Or if you text somebody, you can almost not fully have to cross that line. But when you go hand your family member an invite, personally and face to face, when you go give that to a coworker or a friend and you make it personal, it may just require some boldness on your part to take that step. And this is the part that Jesus loves. For some of us, it's going to really require us to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus as we make that invite. And God loves it. Because here's what takes place. Growth takes place in your life and in your relationship with Jesus, where you're allowing him to make you into the person he wants you to become. I seriously can't think of a better step to get us all started on the invitational, on mission life than to get us all inviting other people to church. Are you guys seeing this? And I'm telling you, once you do, once you cross that line, it's like a point of no return. It becomes even easier than to invite someone else after you've done it one time. And then it becomes even easier for you to share what God is doing in your life when they come to you for advice. It then becomes even easier to go up to your coworker and say things like, hey, I'm praying for you today. It then becomes even easier for you to not just invite people to church, but for you to actually share the love and message of Jesus with them right there. You're not going to have to invite people to church to get them saved. You're going to get them saved right there at work. Church, the invite is a step I want all of us to take, but it is not the end-all, be-all goal. The long-term goal is for this step to one day get us to the place where you can personally help people get saved Monday through Saturday and then bring them to church with you on Sunday. You're going to get your coworker saved on a Wednesday, then you're going to bring them with you on Sunday and introduce them to the family. But you have to make that decision to be an invitational person. You've got to choose whether or not you're going to make the invite. So if you were here last week, and if you weren't here last week, please go online and listen to that message and get caught up. We shared a lot about what we believe is God is calling us to here in 2018. I shared a lot about specific growth that I believe God is calling us to. And one of the things that I shared, though, was that we believe God wants the gathering family to grow. There are currently around 250 people that attend our church on average on the weekend. But I shared that through prayer, as leadership, we have set a goal. We want to see if we could grow the church to 400 people this year. We want that many more Newtonians. We want that many more futures, souls, eternities, marriages, kids, you name it. We want all that to be introduced to the life and love of Jesus. And so, listen, if our church, if we're at 250-ish right now in attendance, I shared this last week that for us to grow to 400, that really only means that we need to invite about 100 adults to get actively engaged in the church, because 100 adults bring with them, on average, 50 kids. That's sweet. And so I challenged everyone last week. I'm going to challenge us to do this again today. If you weren't here, I want you to do this. There are cards all over your seats. And these cards have lines on them, and they say, who's on your list? I invited all of us last week to write down the first names of people that we know in our lives right now that need the invite, that need the love of Jesus, that need to be surrounded by a family like this, that need to be invited to church. And then we put those cards in these two jars right here, and we've committed together that we're going to be praying over all these people. How many guys, and I invited you, I told you, please take a copy of your list or take a picture of it or something with you guys. How many guys have started praying over the people on your handful of us? We're gonna do that this week for sure. All right, we need to start praying. But I need to share this, okay? So family, we would love to see the church grow by 100 adults this year. But get this. Last week, we didn't just write down 100 names. We wrote down 449 names. This church family wrote down 449 names of people, according to what we said last week, that need to know Jesus, that need to be invited. That's 449 Newtonians or Hestonians or Peabodians. Souls, eternities, futures, marriages, kids. That's that many more people that could be living the on-mission life and helping us see Newton reborn. And that's just the individual names. Many of the cards actually said name plus family. So let's just even be a little bit conservative, and let's just take that number 449 times 3 to maybe get a representation of how many people altogether, family-wise, this could include. That's 1,347 people represented in those jars right now. Church family, if we don't live out the invitational life for these people, who will? Can God make a way without us? He can. But does he want to do it through us? I know he does. I know he does. And listen to me, some of these people need the invite now. You can't wait till tomorrow. And so listen, I want to make sure we're clear on this, though. We do understand that there is no, like, bait and switch happening here, right? What I mean by that is this. We didn't get together and just say, you know what, we want to grow the church by 100 people, so we need the gathering family to invite. So let's get together and talk about your future. Let's tell them we're going to talk about your future, and we'll trick them into inviting a whole bunch of people. Come on, you know that's not what happened, right? Church family, I'm telling you, Jesus loves you. He has a fulfilling life, a fulfilling future that he wants you to live out with him. He wants to bless your future and by changing you, by making you into a fisher of men and women, because he knows you will receive so much joy and fulfillment from allowing him to move through you into the lives of other people who need to be blessed by him, who need that satisfaction and that fulfillment that only he can give. Come on, is what we're doing not the gospel message and the Great Commission all wrapped into one? Is that not what we're doing? Is this not exactly what Jesus means when he's saying, come on, love God with everything that you are and love your neighbor as yourself? What other future would we dare invite you into? The question is, will you accept his invitation to live the invitational life? I want us to pray together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're gonna pray just for a moment, and then we're gonna do something special. We're gonna actually just gather around down here and pray over these names that are in these jars here. But let's pray. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? And look, I want to encourage you. If you're here and you didn't fill one of those cards out last week, or if you missed last week, man, who are the people that you know in your life right now that you need to invite? Who are the people that need their names written down and put in these jars? Just their first names, so that we can continue to pray for them. We're going to pray over them today, but we're going to keep praying over all of these people. There's no end in sight. We're going to do this every week. They may accept your invite right now, but it may be next year before they accept your invite. We're going to keep praying. Here's what I want you to do, everybody. If you are filling out one of those cards, man, for the number of names that you write down, we have Easter invitations in the back today. I want you to grab an Easter invitation and give it to the people that you have on your list. I want you to do that this week. Everybody, some of us took invites last week and we haven't handed them out yet. I want us to start inviting the people that are on our list this week. And keep praying. Come on, who are the people in your life that you know God wants to move through your life to impact theirs? God, I pray over this family. I pray that we would say yes, Lord, to your full invitation. Yes, Lord, make us into the men and women you want us to become. And God, we confess, we've got challenges of our own. We've got sin that needs to be dealt with in our own lives. We've got struggles, Lord. We need your help. I pray, Lord, that as we say yes to you, as we say, yes, I'll follow you, and yes, Jesus, I want you to change me, and yes, I'll get on mission with you, I pray, would you bring about the healing in my life that I need? Lord, I pray that you would bless the futures that are in this room as we say, yes, Lord. Draw us closer and closer to your heart. May we experience the fulfillment that you desire for us to have as you show up in us, Lord, and through us to draw other people to yourself. Jesus, we love you so much. It's in your name we pray.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.